said Bay Area, from Baltimore area. Correction.
I'm an addict named Thomas.
I
take my equipment off. I turn 68 and I lose my keys 4 times a day. And sometimes I drive on the way I'm going at. I would call somebody when, just to remember, you know? So now I got to carry that thing because I lose my keys. It's not a good place to lose your keys because I might not be able to get home. I'm an addict named Thomas, and I live in Reisterstown, Maryland now. I'm coming up. I'm going to tell my story. And it's strange. The guy that helped me in rehab to not leave and actually saved my life. And every time I look back at things like that, I just get emotional. And that's Danny right there. He was the maintenance guy. And he was cut, man. I didn't know what I was doing. I thought I was doing a jail bit or something, you know? And he had to tell me to get a butter knife back. I couldn't believe we doing a jail bit. They got real butter knives. And I was, put the knife back, Thomas, you know? Because that's the mindset that I was in. And it's hard to not look at my story. And you would think that it would help convince me in our third step and our 11th step. But it still took some time for me to get used to God's grace and mercy. And y'all old timers, I feel comfortable telling y'all this part of my story because I know you know. As soon as you get exhausted with all your ideas, all my ideas get exhausted. The thing that I work so hard to get, when I surrender, somebody give it to me. Somebody give it to me. And I realize when I look back at my life, I still can't tell you exactly how it happened. I can tell you what happened, but I can't tell you how it happened. Because I think it's all part of our surrender in our first step. You know, not having to fight anymore. And he was trying to tell me, you don't have to fight anymore, Thomas. All you got to do is just work on being here. We got your body. At some point, your mind will be delivered. Just be here, you know. So I'm coming out of West Baltimore. And when I was in school, I was a really sharp guy. Drafting was my trade, man. And I used to like the drafting room because, and, you know, then I was smoking weed then too, though. You know, it seemed like the drawing became more magnified after a couple of joints, you know. And being in the drafting room all high for weed was kind of exciting to me, you know. Just keep a bag of dust, the boy said, and clean your shit up there all the time, you know. And I was coming out of the era of Keep Your Head to the Sky was our classroom song. And you would think that I would come out of that loving that song with some hope, but I didn't. And what happened was, what I used to enjoy doing, I don't know if it was the weed, but even before the weed, I used to love dreaming. I loved dreaming, man. I would dream about a better life than what my parents was giving me. They was doing the best they can, but I always would dream about a better life. And when I look back at those dreams, everything that I dreamt about came true. Once I got in recovery, it came true. Even the woman, I wind up, that's why I knew it clicked when I met my wife. Because it's like I met her before. That's some strange stuff. I'm gonna think I'm getting really weird up here. But I'm talking about after being here for a while, you'll see the dreams that you had prior to using start coming true. A lot of time without any effort from me. It's like he had treasures for me. If I can just stop. And stop, just stop, and then just stop using. Stop messing with the process. The fellowship taught me one thing. All these years, I had a spiritual awakening, Danny. All these years, my clean date is December the 22nd, 1986. And I bear witness, I got a witness right here. I was a good scoundrel. But being in this fellowship has convinced me one thing, man. And I tell sponsees that, And my sponsor keep telling me that. Just do the right thing for the right reason. And tell much as your story that you can. And when you become more mature in the fellowship, you can take what happened today and find the message and the spiritual principle that he wants you to practice that day. If you just tell what happened. Don't try to put nothing together like you educating people. It's not an end service. Tell your story.
That's it.
And I began to do that. When I got clean, Danny would come to my anniversaries. And it would be difficult because I couldn't explain what was actually happening in my life. It was good stuff, but I'm so used to bad stuff. I was in the same area. I celebrated in the same place I'd shot dope at and robbed people. I celebrated right on that corner. Right on that corner. And they started coming in. Then the meeting got bigger. They started coming in. If he can stop shooting dope, man. He said, one guy said, you know, he's still clean too. Is it any medication they're going to give you? It depends on how messed up you are, man. But they don't give you no medication. They might get you over the hump a couple of days. I'll take it. And he's still clean, man, you know. And so I came in this fellowship. I just couldn't handle life. I think I could have got it better if they really cut all of the professional terms they told me, the case managers. That's why I like talking to you. You just told me, just stay fucking clean, man. But there was so much terminology. Somebody had came to me and when I was in rehab and told me, look, man, you're going to be all right here, but you got to change everything. Wait a minute. Everything. This is a fellowship that's more important than you to learn how to live. Once you learn how to live, you're not going to need to escape through drugs. But you want to change everything. The Fed Monroe mentality is strange. You know, I'm coming off the corner. You know, you have to be peeping all the time. And all mine was always racing, not on what I had, but the next one. And I found that same behavior clean. I'll be humping hard for something that I really, really want. The car. And when on the way home with the new car, mine racing on the next one. You think I'm crazy. I should be on some anxiety medication, but that's what meetings do for me. It calms me down. I've learned over the years that you learn how to appreciate what you have. Make what you have everything. And he'll give you a different gift the next time. And so I learned those things. I used to be real fired up and crazy. And I realized probably about that second anniversary, I realized then when my brother came and got clean, that God didn't get me clean for me. He had took the worst example of addiction off the corner. Brought me into the rooms, cleaned me up, so that the other people on the corner would have an example. But they would come behind me, and they did. I just got a call from one of them guys. He just celebrated 34 years, and he said, man, look, let me tell you something. I still remember your first anniversary, and I was shaking like drugstore dice with a cup of coffee, and I was spilling it all over people and all over the floor, and they just still gave me a hug. And I've been clean ever since. Thank you for being the message. So I realized I didn't get clean for myself. I got clean for other people. And I can't take my mind off the prize, though. This fellowship has gave me a purpose. And I travel all over the place. Because the primary, I'm not educated as people think I am. But I do know primary means one. My number one mission is to carry this message. And if I carry it well, I could be able to hear myself some days tell myself that even what you're thinking is still crazy. With over 37 years, sometimes my thinking can take me to places it shouldn't be. That's where your addiction generates its work in your thinking. It's just not the stuff that's already happened to you. You learn how to let that go with sponsorship and steps. But my thinking still going, man. And I was recently, I got to tell you this part of my, I like going through the updated episode, because if you're clean, you probably want to know how do you get through stuff clean. So anyway, I was on with my wife. I was taking my wife and I go with two couples that was in my wedding. I got married in 94. And every year we go away together, a group. And every year, I start not liking it anymore. She loves it. She hang out with the other wives and stuff. I don't like it anymore. So anyway, he was on it. They want to experiment with this new boat. And it's not like the old boat trip. I'm an old guy, fashion guy. Whatever I like, don't change it. You know, this new stuff, you don't get. There used to be you go in your cabin, you had all the water and stuff. They replenish it every day. Now they give you a pitcher of water, and you really have to buy a water jug if you want to have water doing it. It's a mess, man. So anyway, my wife, meantime, been trying to get me to retire. We have our own company trying to get me to retire. And act like I think some of y'all old timers identify with this. Every so often, she's been smart enough, because she's in recovery too. She's smart enough to yank everything. But on a regular basis, she's been taking responsibilities away from me. And I've been watching it. You know? And that my thinking going back to being paranoid again. And she's not talking to me about it. Just every now and then, well, Miss Porter said that she's going to take it from now on. Maybe you need to call her. And I didn't, because I just don't jump out the gate with some crazy stuff. Because I got to wait for my addiction to come and join me. So I got to wait till it builds up in me, you know? Where I ain't going to come right out the gate with an explanation. I'm going to come out of the gate with an attack. That's why I like talking to old timers. They identify. Look, he gonna make it. Look. And we got on the boat, and I got in line to get these bands where you scan the band. There's some things now. It used to be you had to pay for nothing. One bill, you got everything free on the boat. Not no more. They got little things in different departments that you got to pay for. So I like cappuccino. You know? Because they don't make coffee like they used to make in the meetings anymore. With one of your shoes pop off when you're sharing it. See, they don't. So I'm addicted to this. I still want to relive that. So I drink cappuccino. That's the closest you can get to it. I get in line, people behind me, and they went to scan my band, and the thing came and said, not valid. And she says, I'm sorry, sir. Your band is not armed with cash, so I can't serve you. I said, and people behind me. And guess what I thought that I got rid of years ago? Do you know I'm Thomas P? Look, I'm still streetwise a little bit. You got to keep a roll on you. So I said, I'll pay for it. I'm trying to redeem myself. You know what I mean? She said, we can't take cash. So I said, I'll be right back. And I asked my wife, we paid for the trip. My band don't work, your band work. I mean, people are all behind me. I'm embarrassed. Now, I get to the part where when you're holding on to something and don't process it, not even with your sponsor, it starts growing inside. And it starts with a thought but becomes a monster. And then the monster shows up. And all I could say out my mouth, I'm sick of this shit. Pete, we just got on the boat. I don't care. You need to talk to somebody. I'm getting the fuck off this boat right now. I mean, it's gotten real ugly. And I find myself realizing when I'm in trouble, when I'm not really dealing with what has always happened, not just the incident that I'm faced with at that moment, that's the last straw. It's all those other things I try to ignore and act like I'm all right with, and inside I'm not. I wish I could come and share how much I shot dope and but I want to carry a message where old timers go through. Because I'm fixing other people and not fixing myself. Wait a minute, in the old days you say a fix is shooting dope. What do you mean a fix? A fix In Narcotics Anonymous, when you're sharing on a regular basis with a sponsor in a network what you don't like about yourself again. And how are you? I'm having a difficult time figuring things out by myself again. Yes, yes. My sponsor said the first year in recovery, you should have learned that you can't help you. You can't fix you. It's designed that way, Thomas. And all the stuff that you're going through right now is helping you come to believe again. Because you believe in yourself too much. When you're not talking and listening to other people, you start to believe in yourself too much. You've been walking around listening to your own tapes. Now it shows up in relationships. Not just normal relationships. I've been killed them off. When it shows up with relationships with people that you love. I love my wife, man. I won't talk too much about it because one of my socks fall out. But when you get to the point where you want to hurt somebody that you really love, where you don't even care whether you lose them or not, in that moment, not long term, in that moment, you don't care. It's all about feeding the monster inside. Then you know you're in trouble. I called my sponsor. He said, where you at? I'm on the boat. Well, so where you at in the boat? Somewhere down by the Gulf. What are you doing down there? Trying to get the hell off the boat. Are you serious? Yeah, yeah. Well, I go to jail for murder. I'm going to kill somebody, even if it's just me. He said, just sit down, let's talk about it. And there's still magic in the words, Danny, that when I don't take care of myself, he said, and this is something that old timers don't write, but we used to hear it all the time. And when he get to the point, it used to be like it for me too. Remember that phrase we should tell each other? Oh, man, for real? For real. It used to be like that for me too. But me and my wife started talking about things before we do things. As addicts, we got to keep everything on the table. Soon as we try to not put one thing on the table, it causes so much chaos in our lives, we wind up back in step one again. Man, people today kind of like spend, thank God you taught me the first step. He was telling me to teach me the first step when he was on the ladder fixing the ceiling. Man, if you shoot that dope again, this ain't nothing compared to where you're going that next time. I bet they won't be giving you the references you're getting there, and you ain't going to have that kind of room you got. We had two people in the room, didn't we? Living out like a country club. You shoot dope again, you're going straight to jail. For them days they had, if you don't, the EPA said, if you didn't have a court system, you don't complete treatment, you can get picked up. So I began to realize that the same, this might sound crazy, the same shit that used to work back in 86 when I got clean, it still worked today. You got to make yourself have with somebody like you're an open book. And it don't have to be the label of sponsorship all the time. Have somebody in your network you can call. Danny, guess what happened today? There's some stupid shit here. I'm a damn idiot. What did you do? This might sound like him. What did you do this time? Yeah. And let me tell you something. My sponsor gave me permission. This might sound crazy for some of y'all. He gave me permission that I could make at least 4 mistakes a day. And if I talk about the 4 mistakes I done made at the end of the day, maybe the next day it won't be 4. You only zap out because you, Thomas P., made a mistake. It's your ego that's taking you down. Your self-will is trying to destroy you. Be human. Tell people you made a mistake. I was trying to stay young one time. I was going to the gym and I got some muscle someplace. Some place I wanted to get muscle I didn't get. But you know what they told me? You know why? The guy was over there. You know, of course, I was trying to do chess. Because, you know, I want to make sure the fire is still burning at the house. So I'm going to do some chess and stuff, and a little arm. And the guy came to me at the gym. This guy, if you like a trainer, he says, you know, the strange thing about the gym, you got to put your ego on the side just to keep you safe. And when you come to the gym, you work on your weaknesses, not your strengths. You have to determine what your weakness is, not your strength. Once you go in the room, in the locker room, and take all your clothes off and look in the mirror and ask yourself what you need to change. You have to want to change your weaknesses in order for it to become your strength. I'm trying to take my time with this one. So I came back out the locker room. He said, what did you find out? My legs are terrible, man. Did I tell you I ain't wore shorts in years? Because I know it. Then why you? I don't know. Would you help me? See, I'll help you. Get over in that leg machine and just go light. Go light. Don't worry about, and this is the ego hit here. Don't worry about who watching you when you're going light. Just stay light. Your body going to respond to your effort, not your outcome. Are you still with me? Because it's my ego that always make me hurt myself. And the gym is a bad place for your ego. This girl came off the stab master. She had muscles in the back of her knee. She came over where I was working at. And the guy said, what are you doing? Put another plate on that. This ain't no time to put dimes on a dumbbell. Put them 45s on there. Hey, shut up, man. I'm telling you, put the 45. It's in my thinking. Oh my God. Sometimes I just don't appreciate what he's already given me. Peace. And all the dreams I had, they didn't came true. And sometimes I'll be afraid of not having nothing to dream about. And it's tough when you sparingly go to meetings. So I got my home group now. I'm back on Greenmount Avenue. I drive from Reisterstown all the way to Greenmount Avenue. I'm a secretary of the meeting on Monday and Wednesday. They let me tail out and they mess up. The one guy, he's so self-righteous, I went to somebody just to kill his ass. Every time I make a mistake, hey, it's not in the format. And I just restarted a step meeting on Saturday with all the old timers come. Oh, man. And they tell a story about how they had to work that step. And I'm in the convention committee. I don't know if that was a good idea, but I got on the convention committee. And so I don't have time to sit around and think about myself so much. And I meet people that need help. Even with your sponsees. If you're sponsoring five guys and that's all you help is those five guys, at some point, spiritually, you become intolerant. You build a tolerant level that even what they're telling you don't come out loud anymore. I'm just trying to tell you. It can get kind of mumbled sometimes because you're getting used to them. It's like having a family member criticize you. So you had to have, you used to call it fresh blood. They made us old times go to meetings where a mighty named Moses. Come here, Thomas. I said, well, help that guy over there. And remember Big Moses? And he said, I'm not asking you. I'm telling you. Help that guy over there. And I'd go over there. And I would help him. Why? Because it's how we stay here, by helping other people. When I learned that lesson, that was years ago. We was at the old court meeting at the Northwest Hospital years ago. Shelly was celebrating, and her husband was there. And they was talking about how important it is to help people. Because our disease ain't going nowhere. It ain't. And it's progressive. It's progressive. So anyway, I'm gonna wrap this up with this one. I was when I was traveling a lot, and I got so miserable doing that. And I was sharing at the podium in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. And I was talking about it. And I said that somebody called in town and said, I just seen Thomas running down the New Jersey Turnpike hollering and shit. He said, what's going on? Was that you, Thomas? Yeah, that was me. The hell you running down the highway hollering and shit? I'm trying to catch up to my message. You talk so much, you're not even talking about what's going on anymore. You want to present what you think they want to hear. Meantime, I have a disease that takes advantage of that. Now it's time to get in and finish the job. And everybody that stood up listening to him is going to fall in with disappointment and disgust. The best thing y'all can do is just tell what happened, like on the boat. You think it ain't embarrassing? I was going to throw my wife over. I said, I'm going to kill her. And sure as shit. Over a cappuccino, Tom. Over a cappuccino. And you know, in the sick reality of it, when time is harder when you ain't got no time. But time is hard. It's hard to surrender when you think you're right. No, let me change that out. I might have said that wrong. It's hard to surrender when you think you got something on them when they was wrong. Hard, man. I told her one time, I said, you know, back in the day. She said, don't talk about back in the day. She said, I'm back in the day on Fed Monroe. I'd have bust your head for that. And then at some point you laugh at yourself. I am so stupid to not realize the justifications you got was true, because Dr. Jack ain't having a whole lot of sweets and cappuccinos, cutting back on that stuff. She was trying to, but she was not communicating. She knew, realized, now she got to start talking to me about it. And she'd be messing with me. Thomas, we are having chicken for dinner. Baked chicken. But at least I know, you know. Don't give me the tray like I'm a dog. Eat it, you know. I'm a very sensitive character. So anyway, I was, if I had to tell anybody about recovery, this is the best thing. Oh my God, I can't even imagine what you see when you see me. Because what you seen was a guy that didn't even have clothes to change. I had to get up in the morning and wash my clothes before the rest of the community got up. I didn't have nothing. No, help. Let me finish telling a story. I didn't even have a place to go. You know, I didn't have a place to go. Nobody wanted me. I had no place to stay. And it was in December, they couldn't get me in a halfway house. Because in December, during them days, they would flood the halfway houses for all the wrong reason. They couldn't find me a place to stay. And for the first time in my life, I had to admit that I was homeless. I was homeless. No place to stay. No money. Nothing. And I remember my cousin, when he was teaching me how to swim, we was out Park Pool, out Drew Hill Park, and he took me in the 14 feet, because I was playing. I thought I'd learned how to swim like an athlete in 4 feet, so he took me to 14 feet. And I jumped in the water like I was going to be like an athlete, and realized there wasn't no bottom. And I was hollering. And he came swim up there and hit me in my head. You better listen to me. I'm trying. I'm going. He said, when you get stuck in the middle, sometimes you got to force yourself to go down so you can push off the bottom. He said, sometimes you got to make yourself go all the way down to the bottom, and you can push off the bottom and just glide to the top. But you're going to have to relax to enjoy the glide. Don't fight the glide. Don't fight your health. So I learned how to swim, you know. Now I go swimming like I'm from the Olympics at the YMCA with all these old ladies around me. One lady said,
You like potato salad? Hell no.
So I would tell you something. That swimming lesson taught me you can take a downward or up attitude and you can come back to the top. And here is all about the attitude. It ain't about what happened, it's how you accept what happened. Because soon you can accept what happened, you can move on to your next lesson. Because that's the blessing, learning how to accept who you are. Those four mistakes I make, I don't make four mistakes anymore. Because I got permission to make mistakes, now I don't make them. That don't make sense, do it. To me, it does, you know. So anyway, I want to thank y'all for inviting me out here to share. I'm going to tell you something. I enjoy being with some of y'all old timers. All of y'all enjoy being with, but the old timers must know that they should have a I ain't changing it, but it should have a slash saying aging and recovery, because it ain't, you know, recovery ain't the same as it used to be. No. If we got to take more effort to get here. And our patience ain't as good as it used to be. You know? I had a guy that got clean with me. He pulled a newcomer up. He said, "Look, man, let me tell you something. We are bullshit proof. Just tell the truth and get it over with." I said, "You should tell that man." Yes, he needs to know that shit. That's how the old timers did it to us. You know, and we're bullshit proof. Don't try to impress us with your bullshit. And so so our patience ain't as great as it used to be either, right? And so I want to tell you, man, and Danny, I don't know if I'm being to make it to your anniversary. I gotta pick my wife up. She's at the airport tomorrow. When I look at my life over and over again, and the part you played, I don't have no doubt that I would be dead by now. There's a certain part of your story you go back and revisit, you realize that's where I supposed to die. And for that, I want to tell you, thank you. Sometimes he don't want you to know how much you help people, because sometimes it's other people that have don't not accept that. But you was proper representation of a God of my understanding. In the beginning, they tell you to get a God of your understanding. Or do you say you can be your own understanding as long as you got a God? But after you be here for a while, you start realizing if we going in the same direction, it's only going to be one. And every now and then, 11 steps says, sometimes we got to go through another struggle and another surrender in order to stay on the course. And so if pain got me here, every now and then it remind me the pain to keep me here. So I want to tell y'all guys, thank you for listening to this old crazy guy. Oh, man, my dog, I'm getting a break from my dog telling me his jokes and shit, you know? But if I had to tell anybody, man, you got to get in the middle. Even with clean time, you got to get in the middle. And them buying people breakfast and lunches, it ain't over. You got to keep doing that too. Because when the people share their confusion, you can hear some of your old confusion, and you have to make a decision then. Do I move forward or do I move backwards? But there's no standing still in recovery. There is none. You know, so I learned to do that, man. And I'm working on my legs. I said my goal is to get a dimple right here. That ain't gonna happen, but I'm gonna keep doing it because it gets me to the gym. And I began to realize that we have a physical, mental, spiritual disease. And you can't forget about the physical. You might not be able to get to the gym. Just do something, man. I'll be going for a walk. And just the effort of you trying to do better, we feel better. Ain't that something? So thank y'all guys for having me. I'll keep coming back. Look at all this stuff. All this equipment now. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Thomas. From Baltimore.
Baltimore.
Sorry, it was wrong on the sheet.